Shall we turn to the Gospel by Luke again? The opening hymn confirmed me in my thoughts today. Luke chapter 15. Gospel by Luke chapter 15. The little clause at the end of verse 35, the previous chapter, belongs to this chapter. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Chapter 23. Here we have what we looked at in a previous night, but I would like to look at something different here. Luke 23 and verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed at him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? But we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss, not one thing out of place, is another rendering. Now, John's Gospel, I'd like to read just a verse or two here. Chapter 18, it's the trial of the Lord Jesus before Pilate. And some things that happened there. Verse 37, Pilate said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Look at the Acts chapter 13. One of the greatest messages that Paul ever preached is here. We'll just read his concluding remarks. Verse 38. Be it known unto you therefore, men, brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. Now, our last reading is the Epistle to the Hebrews. While I've read so many places, what I will say will be extremely simple and plain. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering this oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, or forever sat down, wherever we put that comma there, it makes sense. He put away sin once and for all, and he sat down to perpetuity, never to rise up to put away sin again. This man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God. Now the Lord will bless what we have been privileged to hear this evening, and I believe that what I'm going to say will add to and impress further the necessity of forgiveness and the way that you can obtain it here this evening. When we come forth to preach the gospel, we have in our mind two things that are always before us. And one is that we would speak simply, because there will be some in the gathering who are not acquainted with the message that we bring. And therefore we desire that in a simple way, so that one coming in that may never have heard even how to be saved or what being saved means, would be able to understand it in the one meeting, because it may be the last one. And so we preach simply because it may be the first time. And again, we preach simply because every one of us that got saved, whatever we had known or learned in our lifetime, we had to come as a little child. The Savior said in Matthew 18, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And every one of us saved here, we came like a little child to trust and not be afraid. You're going to be saved, you'll come simply to the Savior and own him as your Lord. But we also aim at solemnity, because we have no guarantee that we will ever stand before an audience again. And so it's a solemn occasion when the gospel is preached for the preachers themselves. It's a solemn occasion for all who are listening, because the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. This day has carried many over the boundary line, and whatever their desires may be, they will never hear the gospel again. And so tomorrow may be too late for you, and it may be the last meeting for us all, for the Lord is coming. Now in the preaching of the gospel, we have one aim and object. Wherever we go, whatever we say, it is that those who are aroused and concerned about their destiny, and I hope you will be concerned about your destiny, where you will be when the journey of life is done. Satan would blind men's minds to where they are going to be, and would whisper in their ears, there's nothing beyond this life. And infidelity and atheism grows on every hand and unbelief. And some are occupied so much with the material world in which they are living that the things of eternity are not before their minds at all. They live only for the present. But if there should be some in our gathering, and we trust there are, who are concerned about having salvation in this life, then our great objective in all the preaching is to point you to the source of salvation and to point you to the only way of salvation. I'm thankful there's only one way, so there's no confusion at all. The Savior said plainly, I am the way, John 14 and 6, the truth and the light. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. Everyone that will ever be saved in this life and will enjoy heaven in the life to come, he has had a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the only way. Now, in these scriptures, I want to present the Lord Jesus, because he said, I, if I be lifted up, as we heard the other evening, will draw all men unto me. And the lifting up, he was speaking of Calvary, where he would be lifted up. But I believe also he's lifted up every time we come, like Moses, who came with a serpent upon a pole. He lifted it up high in the camp and held it aloft so that every eye may be turned away from Moses the lawgiver and from Aaron the priest and from every ritual and ceremony surrounding the tabernacle system, and that they would look to that one and only way whereby man could be saved, the serpent lifted up. And so it is our desire to lift up, as it were, on the pole of the gospel by the word of God, to lift up to your view the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, and here in this meeting again to announce that there is salvation in no other name, in no other place, in no other person. Salvation is bound up in Christ alone. You're going to be in heaven. You will have Christ as your Savior. If you die full of knowledge and religion, baptized, whatever it may be, if you die like that, minus Christ, you'll go down to perish in your sin. Christ is the answer to your need here tonight. Now in these scriptures I read, so many of them, a simple thought is before me, and yet it's a profound thought.
And that is that this man, he's described here, the Lord Jesus, as this man, telling me that salvation is found in a real living man in heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ, this man. And in these scriptures, this man is presented as different from all other men in the context. In each context, there are other men around him of different kinds. But the preaching in these verses presents him by the Spirit as a unique man above all other men. This man marks him out as different from all others. And through this man, salvation can be found. Now, in the first one that I want to speak about is in Luke 23. And anyone can see this. It's very simple. Even a child could understand it. When the thief was dying on the cross, he looked all around that great company. And what did he behold? He saw sinful men. The world was represented there. The name written over Christ shows us that the whole world was represented. For his title was written in Greek and Latin and Hebrew, written over the cross. It embraced the whole known world. Unlikely there were 1 million people around Jerusalem and around Calvary the day of his crucifixion. Hordes of men. And they were all cursing and casting blasphemies in his teeth, even the religious leaders. And as he looked down at that crew, he realized, I myself and the thief that's with me, we're receiving what we deserve. And this multitude, they're marked by sin in the sight of God. But this man that hangs here between us, this man hath done nothing amiss. This man is different from all other men. You know, that thief had told lies all his life. He never spake truer words. This man hath done nothing amiss. It was true of his whole life. It was true of him in the hour of death. It was true of him even before he entered into humanity. He was absolutely spotless. This man. We don't rely upon the words of the thief to determine that Christ is absolutely spotless. For the Bible says, in him was no sin. That is in his nature. You see, in our nature, sin is there inherent in our nature. We entered the world, and our nature was a sinful one. But in him, there is no sin. And when Peter looked at him, who knew him so well, by the Spirit, he said, he did no sin. Not one action in the life of Christ was ever wrong. And then Paul, who was the man who examined the minds of people, he's a man that looked into the minds of his hearers and so on. He said there was one here who knew no sin, Christ himself. His mind, his thoughts, his actions, his pathway, his nature, his whole being was different from all others. We have heard that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there stands in this world on one occasion a man that knew no sin. The only sinless one that was ever here. The Bible says he was the just one. 1 Peter 3:18. The Bible says there is not a just man upon the earth, one that sinneth not. But coming in at Bethlehem and growing up at Nazareth and moving on the Galilean hills, the man of sorrows, he was without a spot and without a blemish. He's the Lamb of God that was able to take away the sin of the world. If you're going to be saved, the first thing you will learn is this. I'm a sinner. Myself. Not only in a general way, you know that all have sinned, but you alone, I'm a sinner. And if I die, I will receive the wages of my sin. But there's a man here on the cross, and this man hath done nothing amiss. The sinless man is dying for guilty men. Now that brings me to Hebrews chapter 10 that I want to quote. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering the same sacrifices which could never take away sin. That's the Old Testament economy, the only religion that God ever gave to man, by the way. And these priests, day by day and year by year continually, they offered sacrifices of blood as many as the day. Used to sing Isaac Watts's old hymn, "Not all the blood of bulls and goats on Jewish altars slain can give a guilty conscience peace or wash away one's stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, bear all our sins away. A sacrifice of nobler name, richer blood than they. And there on that old cross at Calvary long ago, this man offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Settled forever," we sang. "Sin's tremendous claim. On the cross, he became answerable to God for our sins and the penalty thereof, and bore in full the mighty debt we owed. Oh, what a wonderful Savior he is." I love that old hymn. When I went down to the Middle East, those Indian brethren, they got a hymn sheet together in their beautiful language that I didn't understand. But they had a conference and they said, "When he comes, we would like to put two hymns in English in the sheet." And in the hymn sheet, right in the center, were two English hymns. The first was, "How Great Thou Art." And the other one was, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." They didn't know anything about me. But one of them said, "I think these will be his favorite hymns." And they were. And you know, I love singing. And they spent hours singing it in English so that they could sing it when I would come. And if you had heard 300 of those Indians stand up in Muscat in the darkness of the Middle East, surrounded by Muslims all around us, and sang there that night, "And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to me, how great thou art." Have you ever sung to the Savior God, "How great thou art"? When I was a boy of 19, I bowed my knees to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I thanked him that his Son died on that little cross for my sins, according to the Scripture. You'll never be in heaven until you own that he's the only Savior. This man that we have read about is absolutely sinless. But here this man stands apart from all the priests that ever lived, whether they were Old Testament priests or modern day priests. Every priest today offering and preaching, without Christ they cannot see anybody saved. No ordinance will suffice. It's light that sinners need. But this man stands peerless in his dignity, glorious in his work. He accomplished it. He did it all on Calvary. Done is the work that saved once and forever done. This man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. The priests in the tabernacle, they had many things, and that beautiful tent that God arranged, there was one thing that wasn't in it. A seat. There was no seat in the tabernacle because their work was never done. But this man, he completed the work once for all in those hours of distress upon the tree when he died in our ruined place, condemned he stood. And God has raised him up and placed him on heaven's highest throne, the Lord of all. Now Acts 13. Paul is preaching in verse 38, and he's comparing this man with Moses, the lawgiver. He says, "This man, through this man, is preached the forgiveness of sins," what we've been hearing. That's what we have got to preach. Luke 24, the Savior said, "It behoved Christ to suffer, and that he should be the first that would rise from the dead, and that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name, on the authority of his name. Preach forgiveness to ruined men." And he said, "Begin at Jerusalem. Go to the man that spat in my face. Go to those men that plucked the hairs from my cheeks. And go to that man that used a rod upon the cheek of the judge of Israel. and the man that cruelly crowned my head with thorns, and nailed me to the tree. Go to those who executed the judgment of Pilate, and tell them that I love them. There is forgiveness for the vilest wretch of Adam's race. Who can forgive sins but God? In Mark chapter 3, we read a long list of sins. You know what the Savior said? All sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies with which they may blaspheme. Bring me the filthiest tongued rascal. Bring me a sinner steeped in sin, only fit for hell, and we can tell him there is forgiveness for him. The Lord. You can be saved tonight. Maybe the first time you're ever. We're not here to get you to join us. And I hope you've got that feeling. We're not building sectarianism. And we're not interested in getting you to join something. We would love to see you here after the meetings are gone circling. But if we never meet you again in this life, it will be the big thing to meet you in heaven when the journey's done. When the end is drawing near, you need Christ now. Everyone that's in here tonight, God brought you here. No one will come to a gospel meeting of his own accord. No one. Every unsaved person that's here tonight is marked out by divine mercy to hear the gospel that we preach. And it's important that we preach it plainly in your ears, lest you would never hear it again. Lie in the dark, or the Savior. Through this man is preached the forgiveness of sins, and by him, all that believe are justified. Freed from every charge of guilt, from the things from which they could not be justified by Moses. Moses and all his law could never wash away a stain, but Christ's redeeming blood can make the vilest clean. This man stands peerless as the one through whom forgiveness is preached. But when I read Luke 15, it's a beautiful verse, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. It doesn't say the Lord Jesus didn't say he that is a first to pay, let him pay. The religious world wants you to pay. I've often said there are three things you should never take to a gospel meeting. Your purse, your pride, and your prejudice. Some people come and they're prejudiced. Others come and they're so proud they wouldn't own themselves sinners. And others come and they feel their purse and they say, I'll pay for it. You can't pay for it. We want nothing from you. I want you to get it clear. We're not interested. The gospel has been marred by petty thieves. We ask nothing from anyone. He that hath ears, this is what we ask for, not your hands to work, or your feet to take you on a pilgrimage, or your purse to pay. But we ask for your ears. Our brother told us the mechanics of faith this afternoon, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Everyone that's saved, you got an ear. See, when I'm preaching, I can tell people that have an ear. There's other people that have no ear. And I could tell them right away. I always gauge my audience and watch them carefully, even as an eagle would watch her young. And I could tell you, a man that's listening and has an ear for the gospel, or a young woman that has an ear, and I can tell others they have no ear. They're not interested. They're waiting to get out and away to the world. Every one of us saved, we've got an ear. For Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then, here were people that had an ear. Then drew near all sinners. To hear sinners with an ear. And the Pharisees, the religious world said, this man, he's not like our priests. He's not like our ministers. He's not like the kings. He says he's a king. No king does this.
This man receiveth sinners. I was glad our brother gave that hymn out tonight. Sing it over and over again. Christ receiveth sinful man. And tonight it's as true as it was, although they spake it in derision. It's absolutely true. The man in the glory, highly exalted, he said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Simple verse tells me that salvation is in him. Tells me that you can come to him. And it tells you if you do come, he'll never cast you out. It could be applied two ways. He'll receive you if you come, but it also means that when you do come, he'll never cast you out afterward. One of the verses that teaches eternal security very clearly, him that cometh to me, if I come to him, I will be saved. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out. He's mine! Once in Christ forever. Thus the eternal covenant stands. We believe in the eternal security of every believer. Now listen. Pilate sets two men before the multitude. Barabbas, a robber. And I may tell you that everything that keeps you from Christ is a robber. Whether it's the world's pleasure, the world's materialism, the world's religion, the pride of your heart, politics, whatever it may be, everything around us that keeps you from Christ is a robber. He's a Barabbas. On the other hand is Christ. Pilate said, Christ or Barabbas? A choice to make. The multitude said, not this man. Not this man. The sinless man, the saving man, the sin-atoning man, the exalted man, the man that receives sinners, the gracious man of Calvary, the man of sorrow. The world said, not this man, but Barabbas, the robber. You're going out, Lord's evening. Every person here has a choice to make tonight. Both of us have sought to declare the whole counsel of God, and we have sought to present our Lord Jesus Christ. And the question is tonight, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And I always like to watch men that can sell things. And when they're selling them, setting it up, would be in a store, wherever it may be. I went into a store in California years ago, and I saw a man there, and he had a little thing in his hand. He could draw more juice out of an orange than I ever saw in my life. And he was able to so speak of it that I could see that this man believes in his product. And I bought two. But you see, there's some men when they preach, they leave it high in the air. We preach for results. We're not preaching theories here tonight. We're preaching realities. Salvation is in Christ. And I want to bring it now to a head. What are you going to do before you go out of this hall? Will you go down those stairs, man, tonight the way you come in? And they say, not this man. You can reject us. Reject the other. Reject the Christians. But don't reject the man that died on the cross. If you do, you'll die in your sins. He said, if you die in your sins, where I am, cannot come. Everyone going out of this meeting will have a choice to make. It'll either be Christ for me, or the same old life I've always left. What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? God grant you may trust him tonight. Our Father, we do bow before thee, in the peerless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that the messages tonight, this twofold cord of testimony, may reach many hearts, that they may hear those precious words as we transfer them to the Savior. Set that, lay that to my charge. And on the cross he was wounded. Wounded for us, for our transgressions. On that old rugged cross, so despised by the world. What a wonderful attraction it has for us who are saved. for it was there at its side Jesus suffered and died to save a poor rebel like me. We pray that someone might take the guilty sinner's place tonight here in our meeting. And oh,
I don't know Christ, but before I leave this building tonight, I'm going to trust Him for time and for life, for dying and for all eternity. This friend so dear who died and rose again. Grant that no Barabbas, no robber might steal away the thoughts, but that tonight someone may say like Rebecca, I will go with this man in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now shall we sing together what I consider to be a very touching hymn at the end of a gospel meeting like this, number 89. Oh, what will you do with Jesus? The call comes low and sweet, and tenderly He bids you your burden lay at His feet. Oh, soul so sad and weary, that sweet voice speaks to thee. Then what will you do with Jesus? Oh, what shall I answer thee? Eternal life's in the question, and joy through eternity. What will you do? I can't do it for you. No one can accept Christ for you. What will you do with Jesus? What shall your answer be? Number 89, we appreciate the attendance and the attention. And during this week, we hope to preach the gospel faithfully every night, simply. You're invited to come. And if you're not saved tonight and would like a conversation or questions answered, we'll be very delighted to meet with you. Feel perfectly free.